stand by. Good morning and welcome. Thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Managing Linux and ZVM Performance and Availability Using Omegamon. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. Today's conference is being recorded. The speaker for today's teleconference is Mac Holloway, IBM Tivoli Network Management Development Manager, IBM Software Group. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our speaker, Mr. Mac Holloway.
Hello, this is Mac Holloway. I'm presenting today to you on the value and opportunities with ZVM and Linux performance management. Now, I'm the development manager with Tivoli, which is part of software group within IBM, and I manage a team that worked on a product in this space. Now, what I'm going to try and do is talk about some of the issues and concerns in this space using that product as sort of the bridge to show how those concerns and opportunities intersect. Now, you will have two slide decks, I believe. You have one that specifically I will be presenting today, and then there is a second one, a supplemental deck, that has a whole lot of screenshots in, and I'll be referencing some of that off and on during this presentation. So, given that, let's go from the first slide, which is essentially a cover page, to our next slide, our agenda. I'm going to talk about the opportunity and why we care about this space. I'm going to provide a little bit of background about previous products from IBM in this space, and then I'm going to talk about a new product and what this brings to you in terms of an infrastructure, the larger solution it gives you, and a couple of scenarios. And then I'll talk just a little bit about some of the workspaces and how those help you deal with this space. Okay, for this next slide, I'm going to talk a little bit about the opportunity. Why do we care? There's new workload on Linux on Z-Series when it's running on ZVM. You're finding new workloads like WAS, DB2, Java. You're also seeing significant migration of applications and workloads from server farms, whether it was IBM or other sources for those server farms. People are finding that it is very easy to run and to propagate and to add and to manage in this space. For this, you have the issue then, what do I do about the performance in this space? It's a little more complicated in the sense that now I have both real and virtual resources. I need to monitor both of those types of resources and that resource consumption, and I need to manage it. Managing is going to require me to see both the real and the virtual resource consumption so that I can do the appropriate correlation and understand how I'm managing that. In addition, this is in a very complex environment. We now have a software stack that's a little bit deeper than has been traditional because now we have ZVM at the bottom. Now we're running Linux on top of that. Then WAS, I may be running a SOA application on top of that. And then for my end-to-end, I also have a browser sitting out there very possibly in the Internet coming through a firewall into a DMZ. I may have load levelers there that are initially handling that traffic, which may then come across another firewall, which ultimately is going to get back into WAS, which may then be running SOA, where I may be going to an application, which ultimately is back-ended with a database like DB2. So I have both end-to-end needs and top-to-bottom needs that I need to be able to address. Now, we try to deal with that in the context of performance by means of an infrastructure that we'll talk about in a bit. So, let's go to the next slide. And here I'm going to talk about Omegamon for ZVM, the 5,000-foot view. This is a product that IBM acquired in the Candle acquisition. It's a relatively nice product for monitoring ZVM. And as you can see, it's, in this view, a relatively straightforward product. If you would go to the next slide, this is Omegamon for ZVM, where we talk a little bit about some of what it does. It was a very rich product, and I say was in the sense that this product is not strategic. It's not what we're going forward with. And I will slowly be providing the details of what we're going forward with. So it provides a lot of abilities in terms of what can I monitor. I have all kinds of workloads I can monitor, a whole range of resources. I have an alerting capability. I have, in addition, things like bottleneck analysis. It's a very rich product but it's not one that lends itself well to doing the Linux monitoring that we need to. So it was looked at in comparison with a product that we're going to talk about next, and we made particular choices about what our solution going forward would be. So for completeness, this is not the product we're going forward with, but you should be aware of historically what we've done. Let's go to the next slide. Here I'm going to introduce the ZVM Performance Toolkit. I'm doing an overview from the 5,000-foot view. Here you can see that it has a variety of sources of data. It has a number of feeds, not just to IBM products and IBM capability, but it also can provide feeds to other products. So again, this is in keeping with IBM's general practice in the host space. We make all of our data available generically. There's a new API that we've built into this that we now are going to leverage in the Tivoli product that will be coming up in one or two slides. So, bottom line, this is a very rich tool. I've got a couple of slides here to give you some sense of how rich. So let's go to the next slide. A ZVM Performance Toolkit Overview. It has a full-screen operator console, a TN3270, that sort of thing that is near and dear to your operators. It does all kinds of real-time performance monitoring for ZVM. There's a brief list here. I'm not even going to go through the list. It's extremely rich. We'll see one more slide that'll give you some sense of the breadth of its coverage. Within the 3270 interface, it also gives you the ability to exploit graphics through GDDM. There is also some web server capability, so some of the data can be rendered via a web server on out to a browser, and you have the ability to do some customization of screens. It does provide some integration with other platform monitors. The one that has been implemented to a limited extent is Linux, and we'll actually talk about some of that later. Let's go to the next slide. Here, just for completion, other performance toolkit functions. You get exception reporting, threshold monitoring, Looper user management, user-defined screens. There's a whole range of capabilities that have been built into this product over time. Again, its primary focus, though, again, is ZVM performance data. Let's go to the next slide. This is a typical green screen screen capture. This is to give you some idea of the amount of data that is presented and managed in this product. This isn't a complete list. There are a number of additional screens that show you additional options of data that you can see. It's an extremely rich data source, which ultimately leads me into our next couple of slides. Next slide, please. I'm going to do a TMS overview, or Tivoli Management Services, just to get you some idea of the infrastructure and the monitoring approach that we're taking to be able to provide you with the ability to manage and to monitor and manage both ZVM and Linux data. Next slide, please. This is the TMS OmegaMon XE architecture overview slide. It's basically here to give you a sense of what are the sort of pieces or the big animal picture of how this thing comes together. You essentially have agents at the bottom of the picture. They feed data up either to a remote TEMS or a hub TEMS. Ultimately, the data is aggregated at the hub TEMS. This is where the bulk of the data collection and manipulation is done. Above that, then, you see a data warehouse off to the left. And that provides you with those typical data warehouse capabilities like aggregation and pruning. Both of these are sources then for the TEPS, which is your server for visualization. It provides the ability then to render all of that data in a very convenient fashion, and we'll talk a little bit about what that TEP rendition looks like. So, basically, this is a tiered architecture that allows you to aggregate data from a lot of different agents and therefore be able to leverage that data from those different parts of your IT infrastructure and manage its performance accordingly. Let's go to the next slide. This is TEP's TEMS function. On the right-hand side, you have a screenshot of a typical workspace. Specifically, this is from the Linux monitoring agent. This is the principal user interface. It will be used by both end users and administrators. End users would typically be looking at a workspace like this. Administrators have a whole set of workspaces where they set up who can use what, who can access what, who can create situations, who can create views, modify them, etc. You can run this as either browser-based or as a desktop application. It's very flexible in the formatting. You can have multiple views per workspace. In this case, a view is every one of these boxes. Now, there's a very particular one, the navigation view in the top left on the workspace. It's not one that you have much control over. It is essentially built into the product so that you can always navigate to workspaces that present data about the particular resource or entity you want to look at, whether that's an operating system or an application like WAS or DB2. Each of these views have behind them discrete queries that leverage the data that's available from the TEMS and then render it either in a table format or in one of these graphical views. You have within this also the ability to navigate to other workspaces that may be associated with this particular resource, in this case a Linux instance, but they could also link you over to resources and views associated with some other resource like CDM, and we'll see an instance of that later. Let's go to the next slide. The next slide is just titled Workspaces. This has a couple of things on it that I wanted to point out. Again, this is a workspace from the Linux monitor, specifically the processes workspace. And you'll notice in the navigation tree that not only does it have a way to navigate down to a particular resource, but it also has indicators on it, those little red icons, that indicate that somewhere below that in the tree or to the right on the tree, a situation has been triggered. Now, we haven't talked much about situations, but they essentially are an ability within this infrastructure to monitor all of these resources for either particular states or transitions that are of interest and concern to you. So basically, you can capture your understanding of your infrastructure within this tool to let it monitor until it needs to notify you that there's a condition of interest to you. And we'll talk a little more about that later. In addition, on the table view, on the left-hand side, you'll see a bunch of little icons there that essentially are supposed to represent, I think, three little links in a chain. That essentially is telling you that from here, you can link to some other view, some other workspace within the infrastructure where it's context sensitive. In other words, it will know the information that you have on that same line and will use that to be able to link you to, take you over to another workspace that has more relevant data or that would be the natural place for you to go next if you were doing problem determination. In other words, it gives you an ability to map your workflow into the workspaces that you have in this product. So let's go to the next slide. This is some information about the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. It's a reiteration of what I had been saying. You have the navigator, which is in the top left. It gives you a tree-like way to drive down to any given resource that you want to see data on. It also shows you that there have been alerts, those little red icons that were there that have come from the situations that you defined. You can also, with the DE capability that comes with this product, you can create custom navigator views that would allow you to organize your resources in the way that you would normally navigate or think about your infrastructure. Within the tree, basically, it is giving you a way to navigate to workspaces. Workspaces, again, are a collection of views that you've gone and defined that you feel will render some set of data that you would normally use in your operations to manage your infrastructure. You will be able to define them. You'll be able to modify them. You will be able to assign them or associate them with certain users so that you can have different workspaces and different data and actually different workflows that you can map to all of these views and workspaces that you can create. Again, the views are the lowest level within this tree, and they basically display data from the agents. They're based on queries that you'll get to define, and you can also define links in them that then would take you to other views or workspaces. Let's go to the next slide. And again, this is a Tivoli Enterprise portal showing you again all the different things you can do within this visual interface that you have. You have easy-to-use browser controls, forward, back, and the like. You have the navigation tree that we've talked about in a variety of ways. You have the intelligent linking that I spoke about off of the table. You could also have linking off of graphs. It's not limited to just the tables. You can have these workspaces be persistent. In other words, you can save any changes you make, or you can discard them if it was something that you created just to look at something briefly. You have splitter controls that allow you to say, I want additional views, fewer views, I want to collapse, I want to generate additional ones. I can zoom. In other words, I can go essentially full screen or full window with any given view in here if I want to look at the detail more closely. Again, as we've talked about, you can personalize these views. You can define what kind of graph you want. You can define how many of these you want. You can work with the colors. You can work with whether or not there are links off of those. And then as I say, with the charts, you can define what kind of chart from a set that are automatically available so that you can modify these very easily to make it easier to map this to how you do your job, to how your IT people actually do their work. This can map to your workflow. Let's go to the next slide. Situation analysis. I've only talked very briefly about situations, but I'm going to do a little more here. A situation, again, is a recognition by the monitoring that either some state transition or value transition across a threshold or some state or some combination of those exist at a point in time. It will continue to monitor at the rate you ask it to or you define it to, and if those conditions are met, the situation will, quote, trigger. At that point, you'll see the little red icons on the navigation tree. Plus, if you drill down into that and get to that situation, you can actually see the initial cause. You can see the current state, because the state that triggered that may have changed. So you'll know you may not care anymore, or you may even panic more because the state, it's gotten worse. In addition, you have expert advice that's associated with this, so that you can actually define or provide the information as to why you even care about this particular situation. Also, you can put in, what would you do next? What should you consider? What are the possible causes? You can have links in here also off to websites if there is information that you keep your runbooks off on a website, so that you have the ability to make this an integral part of how you do your business and how you retain the information to help you do that. On the far left, in the lower left, you have also the ability to do a take action. This is where you can send a command to a given system. Specifically, it will be the system that was associated with this particular resource. So you could send, in our case, a command down to, let's say, ZVM to do something associated with one of the guests that's running there. It gives you the ability to actually drive some simple automation. You could also send a message, which in turn could be consumed by either an application, your automation infrastructure. You could even define a tech event to be the action that comes out of this. So it ends up enabling you to take all the information, all of your understanding within the IT group that you have it drive automation and drive that into your larger automation infrastructure. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, now here we've got that. This is OmegaMon Xeon ZVM and Linux agents. It's that same infrastructure picture we saw before, but now we've broken out the pieces that we're providing specific to this product. Now, quick aside, all of that stuff, the TEMS, the TEPS, the data warehouse, all of that comes as part of the product. There's no charge for that. That's all infrastructure that comes with it. What we're providing with this that's specific to this product is, first off, two agents. One is the VM Tema or agent. It gets its data from the Performance Toolkit, which we talked about before. You'll notice the Performance Toolkit basically sits on top of and communicates with ZVM, the command program, and actually the monitor. There's more detail, but we're not going to get down to that level. In addition, you also have these Linux agents that are talking to each of the Linux instances and collecting information about Linux performance. All of this ends up at the TEMS. Again, remember, that's where we want to collect and actually manage our data. In turn, there's one other thing. You have a flow coming back from the TEMS hub down to that VM Tema agent. It, in turn, has an arrow going off to a box we call CMD or command. This is a ZVM guest that we've written that basically can receive messages from our VM Tema so that we can execute a limited set of commands. We provide some logging and a basic, this is very much like a sample. You can expand it as you see fit, or you can also send messages off to other automation tools. It's not restricted to what we provide. It gives you a very easy way now to integrate into whatever ZVM automation you would use, and we'll provide an example later in a scenario. Let's go to the next slide. This is Tivoli OmegaMod XE on ZVM and Linux. This is kind of a standard chart that some of our marketing guys like. The top three sections on the left are about previous product. So what I want to focus on are the two lists in the bottom. Now, the key features in this current release, we have a single product offering, basically, from Tivoli for doing ZVM and Linux performance management. So we prereq the Performance Toolkit as our data collector. We also provide a Linux data collector, and all of that feeds into the infrastructure that comes as part of the product also. So you have an integrated OmegaMod XE operations console for ZVM and Linux. The software prereqs, this supports ZVM 5.2. It requires the Performance Toolkit for 5.2. And it requires SLES 9 with DCSS support. DCSS is basically a shared memory capability that is provided by ZVM. Red Hat 5 will provide that capability also, at which point we'll be able to run on that also. Let's go to the next slide. This is the first of a couple of scenarios. So Tivoli OmegaMod XE on ZVM and Linux, a scenario. Here we have a case where we have uneven Linux guest CPU consumption. From a Linux guest workspace, you could recognize that here's the Linux guest that is causing a problem and consuming too much CPU. From that, we could drill down through a couple of workspaces to go and look and say, all right, fine. What is the characteristic? What is it about this guest? Is this higher than I'm expecting? Why? And ultimately, then I can drill from that through a series of links, actually over to a Linux workspace, and at the bottom, ultimately, down to a Linux process workspace that would allow me to drill not just to the Linux guest, but now actually to the actual process that is causing the consumption. From there, then I can identify what my probable cause is and what I want to do about it. It allows me with this one interface to link from information to information to information that would be a normal flow for us. So let's go to the next slide. This is, again, another scenario here where we've added in the idea of automation. Again, we have uneven Linux guest CPU consumption. Well, now we've seen this more than once, so instead of just doing the drill down, we create a situation where when we first see that a Linux guest is consuming too much CPU, we know that we need to take a particular action. Now, we could have also included information about the process, but for this particular example, we're just going to deal with the Linux guest directly. So we create a situation which is when it's triggered, will cause an action. In this particular case, we just send a message down to an automation product running on ZVM. In this particular case, that ZVM guest is GoMain. It's part of the Operations Manager product. It's an IBM product that's part of the suite of products now that we now have for ZVM system automation and management. Its response to this message now is to go and fix the problem. In our particular case, and were we doing this live, we would run a demo for you. And what would happen is we would trigger the situation automatically. It would drive down, send the message down to the automation product, which in turn then would restrict the consumption by that particular Linux guest. The problem then would clear, and if you would watch all of the information in as associated with that situation, you would see that it would get resolved, it would go away, and life would go back to normal. Plus, if you were monitoring or watching the particular graph of the CPU consumption by that particular guest, you would see it spike up as we kick things off. It would then, as the automation caught it, drop back down to the level that it had been at. All of this happening in an automated fashion. This is the value of the product. This is what you should be trying to do with this and probably any automation product. You're trying to use the tool to learn and capture how you manage your environment and then put that into automated processes. That's the nature of what your teams do. They, by nature, are going to automate whatever they can because it makes them more efficient. This tool, this infrastructure, gives you a way to capture what you understand, what you and your team understand about your infrastructure, map it into actions, and have that all automated. In addition, then, you can have it feed into your larger automation infrastructure so that it fits into your general processes. Let's go to the next slide. Here, this is, again, an integrated approach. I want to reiterate some of what I've been talking about. Your environment typically is going to have browser-based user interfaces that may be running out in the Internet. You're going to have SO applications running on WAS. It may have a DB backend. You may have WAS running on Linux, Linux running on ZVM. If you have a slow response, if a user is out there and clicks on a button and waits, where's the problem? One of the biggest issues that we run into is, where's the culprit? What's the problem? I know in some shops it's always the network. In others, it's always going to be the database. The problem being that while that may be a good generic or even joked at response, ultimately you need to drill down in and see, because there may be more than one contributor. So you need something that gives you the ability to gather data and examine it both from a top to bottom in terms of your software stack, but also end to end. So because your application is running on, is a SOA, running on WAS, on Linux, on ZVM, you need to be able to see data or information about the performance of all of those. You also have from the browser all the way through to the back end, so you need to see performance information about that. You need a way to see information across all of those boundaries and be able to hand these things off from one team or owner to another. Because just because I trigger a situation and recognize that I have a response time problem doesn't mean that the ultimate solution and resolution of that is going to be done by somebody who deals with, let's say, the firewall or deals with DB2. So this infrastructure gives you the ability to make sure that the information is captured, it can respond to whatever your experience has told you, plus hand that information around. So this is part of a larger suite. It leverages an infrastructure that gives you linkages, situations, policies, a common look and feel for all of the data handling you're working with. You get generation of events, of alerts. You use a common DB interface. The toolkit is available also for integrating information from your own apps. If you have applications that are part of your infrastructure where you have the ability to provide performance information about them, that too can be included and rendered and leveraged in this infrastructure. So let's go on to the next slide. here I'm going to talk just a little about some ZVM workspaces, and then we'll go on and look at a couple of them, again, to give the sense of what can I actually do, what data do I have, what is this, how is this going to fit in my shop. Now, we've got a default workspace, but then we've got workspaces that are dedicated to paging and spooling. We have one just on DASD. We have one that's on LPAR utilization. We have network utilization. In our case, we're talking about hypersocket and virtual switch. We have real storage utilization. You have TCP/IP from both a server and a user perspective. We have system utilization. We also provide a system terminal workspace. This is where you have embedded in the product the host-on-demand capability so that you can build within a workspace a view which is essentially a 3270 emulator, which would allow you then within any workspace, if your normal order of business would have you quickly cutting over to a 3270 session because there's a particular tool or there's an application or something that you would want to leverage, you can build that in also and make that part of your workflow. Then we have workload both from a ZVM user ID, but then we have specifically Linux workloads. And then ultimately what we call Apple data that's based on an interface that's provided by ZVM where they have collected information from Linux instances or Linux guests about them so that we have both in the single workspace both a table of real data as ZVM sees it, but then also Linux data as the Linux instances see it. And from those, the ability to launch to any of the Linux workspaces that are appropriate. So let's go down and take a look at one of those. So let's go to the next slide. This is a system utilization slide. The idea here is that we want to give you the ability to understand how that particular system or ZVM instance is being used. So this gives you CPU utilization for the VML part. It's going to have a focus on the queuing and how people are, number of transactions that are running, and ratio of total CPU time to virtual CPU time. This gives you a sense of how effectively each guest is moving through the queue and getting its time share. It gives you a sense of the effectiveness of the hypervisor capability of ZVM in sharing the resources. So that's one place that you might drill down. Now, a quick aside, if you notice the percent of CPU in the table there in this workspace is red. This is where you defined within that view the fact that you want to monitor that particular metric, and if it's above a particular value, it will go red or critical. It could have gone yellow, which is just a warning state, so that there are additional visual indicators within this. All right, let's, again, thinking about CPU, let's go to the next slide. And here we're going to talk about LPAR utilization. Here what we're trying to do is understand the amount of logical CPU busy and elapsed time. We're looking at these on a per-guest basis, and we're trying to make sure we understand how is this stuff being meted out. It's not so much the effectiveness of the hypervisor, but now where is the stuff being used within the LPAR? So this, again, is a different view of some very critical CPU information. All right, let's go to the next slide. Now we get into workload or consumption that's on a per-user basis. Now, we also provide some other stuff here where you would do a normal correlation between CPU, but also how much am I paging? How much am I, you know, when I'm looking at virtual versus real CPU, what's the storage size for any of these given workloads? What's the number of megabytes of expanded storage, et cetera? So this is giving you a broader view of not just CPU, but the workload and what resources it's consuming for a given guest. This again, we have a filtered view of this that is just the Linux guest, and that gives you an ability now to drill down and say, all right, fine. From a CPU perspective, how do I figure which of these are doing what I expect? From any of these, ultimately you are likely to bridge over to what we start seeing on the next slide. And now we're looking at things from a Linux perspective. Here we have the the system information where we're looking at for a given Linux guest, what's being consumed, where and how. This is sort of a general health view of that, where CPU is one of those key characteristics. If we go to the next slide, here we get CPU averages, and what we're seeing then is at what level is the CPU in what state across time for this given Linux guest. And you get a sense of all the different types of averages, so it gives you a sense of the effectiveness and the health of the CPU consumption within this Linux guest. And then finally, next slide, this is the process workspace, where you can see at any point in time what is being consumed by what process. Now, there are other workspaces that would let you also associate this with a given user on Linux, but again, this is one of a number of the workspaces that allow you to attack your different problems. So collectively across these workspaces we've gone through, you have different views of your CPU consumption. Now, there are comparable views, workspaces, to address things like your I.O., your DASDI / disk / file system, your storage versus memory, your virtual memory versus paging. So you have a very rich set of data and workspaces that are linked and can linked in ways that allow you to follow some of what we at least initially felt were natural workflows, but you can build customized workspaces off of these that would allow you to adjust the workflow or pay more attention to other linkages that you think are appropriate for your work. So let's go on to the next slide. At this point, I'm going to do a summary. IBM had two ZVM performance monitoring tools. We're converging these with Linux for Z-Series monitoring. One, what is referred to as the classic OmegaMon for VM product, will not be going forward as far as investment. It's not strategic. So we are going to take the ZVM performance toolkit, and we are going to wed it with the Linux for Z-Series monitoring and the OmegaMon / ITM infrastructure to give you Linux and ZVM monitoring. It provides you with a flexible user configurable interface. You get the ability to leverage that data via situations and policies. You get historical data warehousing for your planning needs. It has aggregation and pooling so that you can manage that data. You also get 3270 drill down supplement, both from within the infrastructure itself, but specifically with the ZVM performance toolkit, where there is a huge amount of data, phenomenally rich set of data for getting into almost infinite detail of what's happening in ZVM. So the new product is part of the integrated monitoring suite that Tivoli provides. We feel it will help you do a better job of managing the broader kinds of problems that you run into, and it has the 3270 drill down capability that very often is necessary in some of the host environments. At this point, I would hand this off to the operator. Thank you.
Thank you, Mac. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live question and answer with the presenter and the OmegaMon developers. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Question 1. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3, and we'll pause for just a moment. Question 2. What was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. Or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Again, we will pause for just a moment. Question 3. Are you currently using IBM VM performance tools? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Question 4. Are you running Linux with ZVM on System Z? If yes, press star 1. If no, but plan to install in 2007, press star 2. If no, and no plans to install in 2007, press star 3. Again, we will pause. And question 5. We hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, simply press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. At this time, I will turn the call over to Mac while we wait for questions.
Yeah, this is Mac Holloway. Given the range and the complexity of this environment, I'm hoping that there are some interesting questions. I'm delighted that you were interested in participating in this. This is part of a suite of products that IBM has now gone and invested in to be able to provide a broader system management suite. So this is only one of several that you may want to learn about.
And our first question comes from Ken Dugdale.
Hi, I'm wondering if there are any security aspects to this. Does Tivoli Performance Monitor need to be monitored by an external security package, or would you consider Tivoli an appropriate security package in itself to monitor things like operating system resources?
For on ZVM specifically, and for any driving any commands, you would be able to control the security. Beyond that, it would be we would have to know specifically what level of security and so you need. If you can send me a more detailed question on that as far as what your needs are, I would be sure to get back to you.
All right, thank you.
Our next question comes from Michael Zora from Wells Fargo.
Hi. What other agents are planned or available besides ZVM and Zlinux?
All right, there is one for every major operating system, including ZOS, Windows, Unix variants, Linux variants. There also is for middleware, both DB2, Oracle, WAS. Then there are also some integrated ones that try and do more end-to-end, where they're called IT CAMs, where it's essentially it's a composite application because it's data from multiple sources. So there's a fairly broad range of monitors that participate in this infrastructure.
Good, thanks.
Once again, if you have a question or a comment, please press star 1 now. We go next to Louis Ticona from NYPD.
Hi, this is Louis Ticona from New York City. Last week I was using the ZVM performance monitor, and I was trying to go down to, to the file level when one of our Linux servers was having problems. It seemed like it was going into a loop. I tried to go deep into that. I keep on clicking and clicking on that, and I couldn't get through, and I finally I have to recycle the whole server, Linux server. Nobody seemed to know what happened. I tried to get the log, and I couldn't get the log, and my question was that if this tool that we have through Candle, Megamon, it will allow us to go deep into this situation and be able to find the real deep and the bottom of this problem and find out what is causing the problem and without being hung. Like at this time, you know, ZVM performance monitor was hanging and I couldn't get through, and then I couldn't get to know what was the bottom of this problem.
Okay, you would still have all of the information and capabilities that would be accessible and available from the Linux monitor that would be running on the particular Linux guest that you were concerned with?
I have a copy of that.
Excuse me?
I have it printed. I have it with me at my desk, not right now, because I remember about this presentation in the last minute.
Okay. But, yeah, and that's part of why the supplemental handout that came along with this gives you an idea of all the data that's available from both of the agents that are part of this product. What I would ask, and I'd be happy, since we work closely with the ZVM team, if you had a PMR or any kind of description, I'd be delighted to talk with you about how we could do drill down for the particular scenario you described.
Okay. Do you have an email address that you can share with me?
Yeah. What I'll do is send it to the coordinator for this call, who will send it out to you.
Very good.
That's the mechanics they've asked us to follow.
Sure. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We go next to Elizabeth Holland with IBM.
Hi, Mac. Are there any abilities to see this product being demoed, either in a script or recorded demo, and not just the OmegaMon for ZVM, but also the other Tivoli Enterprise Portal capabilities?
What exists, and actually it's a good point for people in general to be aware of, there's a demo system out of the Dallas Center that actually has both this product and all of the OmegaMon products, and I think the entire ITM suite, all available to see live running real code. If you're interested, you would talk to your salesperson or an SE to get an opportunity to see that. And in some cases, there are even scripted live scenarios that you would have a chance to see.
Great, thank you.
And once again, it is star one if you have a question or a comment. We go to another follow-up with Michael Zorza.
Hi. This may be more of a sales question, but our primary ZVM monitor is the Velocity Suite. Do you know if there's been a comparison made between the functions that is provided with OmegaMon versus the Velocity functions?
I don't know that there's been a formal comparison. I know we have clearly looked at the Velocity product, and we've talked with customers that have had it. That's probably better for the sales guys to shape that discussion. I understand both sides from a very technical perspective, but I don't know that that would do a good job of addressing your particular question, your particular needs in any given shot.
Okay. I was just thinking that if I wanted to replace the Velocity software with this, I need to be able to figure out why they're different.
Fair enough. This product, basically there are a couple of differences. This product, first off, gives you monitoring of both ZVM and performance and Linux, but the ability to match that into a broader set of product monitoring so that you have a wider range of information to leverage. It also gives you a 3270 plus that larger infrastructure so that you probably have as rich a data set as is available. I think the performance toolkit actually covers a broader set of things than anything else out in the field. There have been some issues raised about which one is more efficient or consumes more or less resource. Depending upon your setup, that may or may not even be an issue. In some cases, it's a wash. In some cases, this may actually be more efficient for you. In some cases, it's possible the Velocity might be more efficient.
Okay, I think what I'll do is I'll work with my salesperson on this, but don't be surprised if they come back to you and say, hey, we need a little bit more detail.
Cool, and that's perfectly fine.
Good.
And there are no further questions at this time, Mr. Holloway.
Okay, folks, thank you very much. I mean, I appreciate having a chance to put out information and have you listen and where you have questions and so on. It's always good for us.
And that does conclude today's conference. Everyone, have a great day.